Welcome in, Lineup Logic fans, to week 7 of the Fantasy Fade Route. I can't believe it. We're about halfway through, just almost halfway through the season, and we're raring to go here for what should be a decent week 7. As always, the people you've come to love and enjoy on this podcast, I have with me Mike Alexander, a.k.a. Roto underscore Juan. What's up, Mike? How are you?
Yo, Quaffo. What's up, man?
And back, he made it through some treacherous activity weather-wise. We've got Jason Moschel, a.k.a. at J. Moschel. What's up, man?
How's it going?
It's good. It's good. Good to have you back. And we kind of kept some of your recurrent themes, so you were missed, but we're happy you made it through all what was happening down there. And I know you're definitely, I think a lot of people are feeling for people in the panhandle of Florida, that part of the country. That was some tough stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are going to, for this week, go through, I kind of think we like the format change we had a little bit after the technical difficulties Mike and I experienced through last week's taping. So we're gonna try something. We hope you all like it. We're going to go through each game and give you a fade, lock, and a sleeper. And we're going to walk through that for you and see, again, want as much feedback as you get on this as we go through and you all take a listen here. What I do want to remind people of is our patreon.com/lineuplogic. If you want to get involved, the NBA tonight is ball night, as people say, is kicked off, and there's cheat sheets for that. Obviously, the NBA, the NFL is going strong. There's even MLB activity, a lot of soccer activity. So for $10 a month, patreon.com/lineuplogic, sign up, be a part of that community. All three of us are very active and involved with the community there. It's a great way, great use of your $10. There's a lot of other things you can spend it on, but $10 for access to, if you're going to play fantasy, probably no better bargain you're going to have than that. So with that, Mike, we'll get into game by game, but just if we want to go back real quick, can you give me one thing from week number 6 that stands out to you?
For me, I don't know what's going on with Tennessee. You know, I was really thinking that they would have a good offense coming out, you know, Matt LaFleur coming over from the Rams, and good offensive line, lots of weapons. Mariota could take a step forward, and their season has just come off the tracks, killing a lot of my best ball shares, a lot of Deion Lewis, a lot of Marcus Mariota, and I don't know if there's any hope in sight.
Yeah, it looked pretty abysmal. I mean, you're setting records for sacks. What was it, 10?
11.
10 completions and 11 sacks?
No good.
No bueno, as they would like to say. No bueno. Jason, what about you for week 6? Anything stand out to you?
Man, it's still just David Johnson's like poor usage. Like I'm so fed up with the coaching staff over there. Just like every game. I mean, I was watching. I don't think I remember if I watched this week's game yet, but I know definitely last week's game. You like watch it, and David Johnson's like wide open in the flats, like waiting for a screen or a dump off. Like teams aren't even covering him at this point because they know that he's not going to get the ball. It's ridiculous.
Right. That's when play calling goes wrong. When keeping it real goes wrong. That's what's going on there. And we'll talk about that as the first game of the week as well. For me in week 6, one thing I want people to look at, and obviously follow what's happening, you know, with the bye week and everything like here. But that Steelers situation is going to be interesting. James Conner has played well enough to be the starter. He is balling out, as we like to say, playing really well. Le'Veon, you know, has not reported yet, but likely to report here as we get into, you know, week 8. Do they go with a timeshare? Is it Conner's job to lose? Interesting to see for, you know, a high usage offense that really concentrates everything with the two big receivers and the running back. So it'll be interesting to see for both daily and season long what happens with the Pittsburgh backfield. So I'm anxious to see that because Connor played very well on Sunday.
Yep.
All right. With that, let's get into the game by game. We'll start with the Thursday night affair in the desert. The Broncos are going to Arizona to play the Cardinals. The over-under, real small here at 41.5. Denver's a one-point favorite. And if you watched them last week, I don't understand how they're a favorite against anyone. But to what Jason was saying, the Cardinals coaching staff is pretty remedial at this point. So following with our format for this week, Mike, why don't you go ahead and give us a guy you're fading in this matchup?
You know, it probably would be DJ if it weren't for the Broncos getting shredded on the ground recently. And then there's not really any Cardinal wide receivers that are good fades. So, you know, it's going to have to be Demaryius Thomas getting probably the shadow from Patrick Peterson. Even though DT's snaps have been coming down, Cortland Sutton's coming on a little bit. So that's another reason he might be a fade this week.
Also, the trigger man back there too, right? The Chad Kelly era is on the launch pad, about ready to start in Denver.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you guys a lock. I am going to say, shocking to no one because this is a guy I've been on for a while, David Johnson. I know you were throwing him in your fade list, but after watching Todd Gurley do super dances all over the Broncos defense last week, it'd be kind of foolhardy not to, in this showdown slate and this one-game affair on Thursday night, not to put David Johnson probably even in your captain spot on Thursday night. He's lock and load. At some point, I know Jason's been digging in on the film there, but at some point they got to realize what they got with David Johnson. And, you know, he's scraping by and getting scores almost despite them, but he's my guy here.
It's been really like vanilla play calling with him. You know, the rushing is all right up the middle between the guards, and like
no imagination. Yep.
That's the place to attack Denver, apparently. For at least that's what the last 2 weeks have shown. Now their run blocking isn't quite as strong as the Rams or other teams, but you know, if that narrative continues, this has got to be the week for DJ.
Exactly. All right, Jason, bring us home with a sleeper in this game.
Arizona, they can't run block, so I don't know.
They're hurting up front.
Yeah. You watch them try and run DJ up the gut, and he ends up just running into a pile of his own linemen because they can't open up a hole for anything. But my sleeper, it's got to be Christian Kirk. He's kind of the only wide receiver that's kind of separating himself. Larry Fitz really isn't doing anything. None of the other receivers for Arizona are really, you know, stepping up.
I like Kirk a lot.
Ricky Seals-Jones had an okay game, but, you know, he's really not living up to the hype that he came into the season with.
No.
And, you know, Cortland Sutton, Emmanuel Sanders on the other side there. Manny's, what, like top five wide receiver on the season. I mean, you can't – neither one of those guys can qualify for truth or status, you know.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I really think Kirk is a good pick because I think I've got him in some season-long affairs as well. He's going to figure it out. Rosen's going to figure it out. Denver is not the defense it once was. Aqib Tlaib's not walking through that door anymore, so I actually like that sleeper. So, all right.
What do you guys think about Royce Freeman? Because the Cardinals have been just like the worst run defense in the league, which is bizarre because they were one of the best in 2017. And that's what really has Wilkes in my book as like the worst head coach right now, because he took a unit that had such a strength and turned it into a huge weakness.
He's got some people he's fighting for that worst coaching
that's true
title of the year, but he's up there. He's up
you
there. Know, him and
you
are.
You turn that like
Hugh.
Stellar run defense into a sieve. Yeah. Like that's you're just doing something wrong as a coach. Like the personnel barely changed.
Exactly. I think Freeman. I was big on him to start the season. I think I'm more in the Phillip Lindsay camp at this point. I mean, I know it's still a timeshare. If I'm playing the showdown slate, I like a Lindsay mixed with Kirk, mixed with DJ. You know, you get the two kind of number one running backs.
I feel like you'll get a better ownership on Freeman, though. Like, Lindsay's
I think so.
Probably
yeah.
trending to be the more popular pick.
Yeah, exactly. So, Anything else on this game?
You still have Booker out there for like the last two minutes of every half, which is just ridiculous.
Oh, so awful. It's like, what are you guys doing?
So much play coaching.
Across the league, the play calling is just something else. All right.
Which is crazy because like every year there's guys like Sean McVay that crop up and these teams are just sticking with awful coaching year in and year out and not getting better. It's craziness.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So we'll move on to the game in jolly old England. Tennessee taking on the Chargers of L.A. The over-under is 45. The Chargers are 6.5-point favorites. By way of background, I think they're sort of rounding into form. They looked really good in the game that we talked about last week against Cleveland. They played well coming across the country. So, but, Mike, anyone we want to fade on either side of the ball here?
Yeah, so I'm going to do my best in this format to not just say entire teams like Tennessee and Buffalo. I'll try to pick someone specific. Sure. If I'm going to fade someone over here, it's got to be Marcus Mariota. He looks gun-shy right now. You know, the sacks haven't helped, the elbow injury and the grip problem. You just see him, if his first read isn't there, he freezes and goes into turtle mode and you know, tries to run the ball, and that's part of the reason he gave up so many sacks. Don't love that it's a London game either. That throws a wrench into everything. So I'd fade Marcus Mariota.
I think for me, the lock is, I'm taking it away from you, Jason. You have got me in the church of Melvin Gordon, baby. I'm locking up Melvin Gordon. That production is out of this world. Even with Austin Eckler there, PFF has Melvin Gordon as a number two rated running back in all of football. The guy's floor is bananas. Ceiling is upwards of 3 touchdowns in any given week. I mean, he may be fast approaching, you know, 15, 20 touchdowns this year all told. So, like, you gotta go with him.
There was a huge discussion this week about, is Todd Gurley worth $10K and is he cash viable, et cetera. And there's like been no discussion about the discussion was it a mistake or not to use Todd Gurley, and it turned out great. The discussion for me should have been, was it a mistake to not use Melvin Gordon, because he got the same usage, really close score, and he saved you a chunk of change. So
exactly.
You know, that's interesting. Like, everybody's out there touting that they use Todd Gurley at $10K. I'm like, you could have used Melvin Gordon on either site and saved money.
You could have just listened to this podcast, and Jason talked about this guy from August. So,
yep.
All right, Jason, who are you thinking about sleeper in this game?
It might seem a little bit chasey, but I like Tyrell. This is a team. Like, the last week's production was kind of fluky. I mean, he just got – Phillip Rivers doesn't normally just throw him into a crowd of people, you know. It's the same route 2 times in a row, basically.
They actually said that they had that – they saw that wrinkle and the – Brown's defense kept giving up the same coverage and they just kept going to it. It was like, if you look at his next gen chart, it's like the same route 3
times. Same route. Yep. Yeah.
like just a perfect tracing of the route.
Yeah. But
cause guys, this is actually
the matchup where Tyrell usually goes off, where he's facing a defense that can give it up like deep pretty regularly, a little bit slower defense. So, might seem a little bit chasey, but
I think the Titans are beatable deep. I got burned on John Brown last week, but that was in Tennessee, so on the road or across the pond, et cetera, they're a little bit more vulnerable.
Yeah. And with Melvin Gordon, all the GPPs that I was entered in last week on DraftKings, at least, I didn't look on FanDuel, but on DraftKings at least, everybody had all the first place entries had Melvin Gordon and Todd Gurley, just like Josh was talking about on the Friday pod.
It was a big pairing.
All right, anything else with this game? All right, we're going to move on to Minnesota playing the New York Jets. Over-under is 47. Minnesota, 3-point favorites. Mike, walk us through your fade.
Ooh, fade for this one. So I think if Dalvin Cook sits, which who knows what's going to happen, it seems like he's trending to get closer to playing. He was a last-minute scratch. But if he sits, I think people would mistakenly go after Latavius Murray. I don't think that's a good play on the road in New York or New Jersey, as it were, and facing a pretty solid front from the Jets. So I would make him a conditional fade if Cook is out. Don't chase his production from last week against that really bad Cardinals run D. But if Cook does go, I would make my 1B Isaiah Crowell. He's lived on the long run, the big play, and that's just so hard to chase week to week. So I'd be careful with the running games on either side here.
Very good. For me, again, this is going to be real chalky, but we're looking at a lock to set that floor maybe for cash game. I mean, how else can you go with anyone other than Adam Thielen? We talked about him last week in the top 10. You're right, he's in the top five. I mean, this guy with record-setting production, 100-yard games every game this season, just destroying people in the slot. You lock him in even at his price. I'm looking on FanDuel to see his price right now. He's creeping up there at 8,700, but if I'm playing cash games, you got to start with this guy. Like, he's just, testament to hard work and all that other good stuff. Good route runner, has a connection with Cousins. Yeah, lock up Adam Thielen and just move about your business.
And Screen is Buster Screen is probably the worst of the corners for the Jets.
Yeah, so it's going to be a fiesta for Adam Thielen. What about sleepers here, Jason, in this game?
Looks so. Robbie Anderson is going to get Xavier Rhodes most likely, right? Terrell Pryor came up with an injury after last game.
And
Looks like
Noon
he's
was
got.
out too.
Yeah, Noon has got Dan.
Yeah, Inunu is out. So Jermaine Kearse, he's cheap. He's gonna soak up all those targets.
Yeah, he really took over from Onunwa for that like safety blanket role when he came back.
Yep. So.
I mean, he showed talent in the past too, so it's not that's definitely not
Right.
a bad way to go. So,
He's
anything else on this game?
like the cheapest option there, and he's the one that's gonna get all those targets. I mean,
Yeah,
right.
especially on
So.
DK with PPR.
Oh
Yeah,
yeah.
exactly. Anything else on this game?
Nope.
Right, let's move on to Houston going to Jacksonville to face the reeling Jags. The over-under is 43. I've got the Jags as 5-point favorites. Mike, I think there's a lot of choices to fade here. Who do you want to fade in this matchup?
I'd say Deshaun Watson. He's really beat up right now. He had a he put the ball on the ground a bunch against the Bills. That was at home. This game is on the road in Jacksonville, where the Jags are a better team. You can just see it. I don't know if you saw the Jalen Ramsey interview after the game, man. That defense is going to come out pissed off. If I were the owner of the Texans, I would be telling my coach, Deshaun Watson sits this game. Like, there's no way it's gonna look good. That Texan offensive line is probably the worst in the league. They can't pass block to save their lives. So I think there's the turnovers, the errors are going to continue for Watson.
Yeah, they're looking to get that poor kid killed out there. I mean, it's tough sledding in Houston. For me, the lock here is going to be T.J. Yeldon. His price point on FanDuel at 6,800, still relatively reasonable for what I project to be the production in the game. Jacksonville should can control for all the reasons you talked about. An angry, aggressive defense. The Blake Bortles project, you don't know what you're going to get necessarily there. The way to maybe attack Houston might be through the man that is T.J. Yeldon, and so it's sort of a lukewarm lock, but it's still a lock picking from this game of all the choices I have, because I'd really, to your point, just be looking at Jacksonville's offense if you're going to pick from this game at all. Any sleepers you have here, Jason?
Man, I really want to go with one of these with one of these Jacksonville receivers. But man, it's so hard to decide which one to go with because they
Yeah.
just do the same. It's either one goes off or none of them go off or They, I mean, like, DD and Cole are kind of the obvious ones, but they one has 38 targets on the season, 27 catches. The other has 39 targets, 25 catches.
When I go the cheaper like, one, I know on FanDuel, Keelan Cole's only 5,500.
Yeah, I was like, looking at my rankings, and I have them, where'd they go? Yeah.
Probably real close to each other.
Yeah, they're, it goes Keelan Cole, Mike Williams, DD. So, I guess Keelan Cole, even though, yeah, I have him with just a little bit more upside. And he is the cheaper one. Yeah. So, I'm going to go with Keelan Cole as my sleeper.
Boom.
Thank you very much.
Any love for Principal O'Shaughnessy with Niles Paul getting a knee sprain?
If I got to play him, nah, man. I should probably not be playing DFS if I'm going down to that bottom. we can't do that. We saw what Blake Bortles is, and I understand it's a mass unit at tight end right now, but yeah. Give me those two receivers.
I'll be honest, I just wanted to say Principal O'Shaughnessy.
You got it in the podcast. That's great. All right, let's get away from that game. Let's go to a game that has some level of interest. The Lions going to Miami to face the Dolphins. I don't have a line on this game as of yet. Again, remember, guys, this is an early week podcast. We're taping on Tuesday. That's probably due to the Ryan Tannehill news, trying to figure out if he's going to go or not. Brock Osweiler is live and in full effect last game, so we'll see what the Lions have in store for him if he ends up being the signal caller for Miami. You got a fade here for us, Mike, with these two teams that are both coming off victories.
That makes it a little sticky. I know Osweiler seemingly did well, ended up on the Millie Maker lineup on DraftKings, which is kind of bonkers. But I think it's 2016, 2017, 2018, and Brock Osweiler's first start of the season. It's all come against the Chicago Bears, and he's beaten them all three times, which is just, like, insanity, because they've had a solid defense all 3 years. If he's in there, you know, that I think that Miami passing game is going to suffer, even though the Detroit defense is not quite, you know, on the road there, that great. Out of that group of receivers, I'd probably be most likely to fade Danny Amendola. Osweiler's a bit more of a risk taker, and that doesn't quite gel with Amendola.
Just thinking about this game, too, and thinking about recency bias, is Albert Wilson a guy that, you know, you want to fade here as well, just given the fact that people are going to chase those big numbers? If you're just, you know, stat chasing and looking at box scores, you know, say, okay, well, you know, he had the two big touchdowns last week. I mean, is he a guy that you just say, oh, you know?
Yeah, you know, some smart people had been putting me on to Albert Wilson as the season went. I actually used him a little bit in mm-hmm. some of my builds. Obviously, I didn't have any inkling that kind of day was on tap. But, he's a fast receiver, a good athlete. The slow pace and the target variability with all the different receiving options on that team is part of the problem. But I don't see how you don't go back to a guy who had that kind of day, at least try to get him some more work.
It's okay. All right. We can differ a little bit there on good old Albert Wilson. For me, if I move over to locks, I'm obviously biased being a Lions guy, but Babytron, Kenny Galladay here, he's my lock and load. He's emerging. He's not Adam Thielen yet, but he's emerging, you know, in that top 20 receivers, top 25 receivers in the game. Just a talented guy, good rapport with Stafford, sees a lot of volume, sees a lot of the target share of that offense. PFF's got him as a number 10 receiver in all of football. His price is 7,000 on FanDuel. Lock up Kenny Galladay here. I mean, his floor to me is, even on a site like FanDuel, his floor is maybe like 12 points. and his upside could be 20, 25. I mean, he could go for two scores easy in a game like this. So give me Kenny Galladay as my lock. Jason, sleeper.
Sleeper.
It was like I was falling asleep there.
Like LeGarrette Blount stealing those all of Matt Stafford's touchdowns like he did a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
made me so mad.
Yeah, that's definitely a way to go. I mean, he's priced really affordably at 5,600. Looks like Kerryon's dealing with an ankle, but he should be good to go as well.
Yeah, that was a joke. I'm not playing LeGarrette Blount, no matter how many touchdowns he scores.
The irony was lost on me, man. I was like, hey, that's a deep sleeper. That's a ankle move off of that. So,
no, I actually like Albert Wilson and Jakeem Grant. Wilson's had a couple of those blow up games like he had this week. It's not an isolated incident. Mm-hmm. And if you go to, let me find, where did I put it? I had it right here. Next Gen Stats. You got fastest ball carriers, 2018. Tyreek Hill, Albert Wilson.
Yeah, no, there's no question about Wilson's speed. Yeah, he's definitely got Jets.
Yep.
And those are, let me see, Tyreek's are a 58-yard touchdown, a 91-yard punt return touchdown. And then Albert Wilson's 74-yard reception touchdown, and Jakeem a 71-yard punt return for a touchdown. These guys are super, super fast. I mean, and with Jakeem like playing on special teams too, that's just another opportunity for a big play for him. So,
well, let me ask you both this real quick.
I like both those guys.
Not to belabor this too much, but let me ask you both this real quick. If it is Brock Osweiler, do you trust him to get the ball to either of those guys?
He was only throwing like 5 yards down the field. So if he's only throwing 5 yards down the field, then sure. I mean, like I watched that game today and I was like, how did Brock compile whatever 380 yards? Yeah. And it was dump off. And his little speedy receivers were just doing all the work, you know?
Right.
Okay. That's so something for the listeners to chew on right there if you're looking at that game.
Yeah,
we'll move
Brock,
on.
Brock looked like Brock.
The only other thing I'd add about this game is keep an eye on Frank Gore. I know he got a little nicked up towards the end of the game. If Kenyon Drake can actually get a consolidated role against a bad run defense that's on the road, it might actually be an opportunity to use Drake.
Maybe the one of the only ones you're going to get. This
yeah.
is kind of the finally with him. All right, we'll move on. Cleveland is going to Tampa. A lot of Florida games this week. Yeah. Cleveland's going to Tampa to take on the Bucks. 49.5 is the over-under. Tampa, 3-point favorites. Mike, who are we fading out of this matchup?
My Jameis fade didn't work out so good this week.
Jameis is.
Yeah, the first half wasn't bad. I think he was 1-1 with one touchdown and one interception. It wasn't looking too bad, but they went into catch up mode and he became the QB1. So, but you know, I don't think Jameis is good, but. I'm probably gonna stay out of those waters for the time being. I'd say Carlos Hyde. I was high on him coming into the week, so this could be an overreaction. Or coming into last week rather, but the Bucks' run defense is better than their pass defense by a large margin. So there's just no need to run on them. You can just throw on them at will. And if the Bucks do manage to put up some points, the Browns showed that Hyde will get phased out in catch-up mode for Duke Johnson, and rightfully so. That's that should have been occurring already. For whatever reason, it hadn't until the last couple weeks, and you know, his snap share and target share is creeping up. So I'd say Carlos Hyde would be a fade.
All right. For me, I want a little bit of the Tampa passing offense. I don't know if I can go all in on Jameis, but a guy who's been relatively quiet, All the talent in the world. I'm going to go with Mike Evans here. I like Cleveland's defense, so it's a hesitant lock. But of the passing options, I know there's actually a ton in Tampa with Godwin, Deshaun, Evans. Mike Evans is under 8,000 on FanDuel. He has some touchdown equity, I think, there. Jameis is rounding into form. I'm going to lock Mike Evans in this game, and I think some production comes his way. What about a sleeper, Jason, in this matchup with the Browns and the Bucks?
I'm going to go right back to Anthony Callaway, like Antonio Callaway. He can't catch a ball.
The targets are there.
Yeah, I mean, the last 3 weeks, he's got 24 targets. Landry's 29. He just can't catch a ball.
So do you guys have any idea what's going on with Baker? Like, his completion percentage, his success rate, they're, like, really ridiculously low. Do you have any idea why he's not been successful?
He's a rookie, and this stuff is coming at him. I mean, right? Like, it sometimes the answer is just the obvious one, right? Like,
yeah,
this stuff is coming at him so fast, right? Defensive schemed at him.
Yeah.
And we're over a month removed from his triumphant matchup there. Was that against the Jets, where he comes on and saves the day? Teams have got a lot of film on him now. You know, Tampa is probably kind of a get right spot if he does. If Baker does go, I know he's got dealing with an ankle. If he does go, I mean, I think it's just a product of the ups and downs. Not every rookie or young quarterback is going to be Pat Mahomes. So that's my thing. I don't know, Jason. I don't know about you and Baker. Like, your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I think part of it is his receivers just not really helping him out too much. I mean, Njoku and Callaway have just been dropping passes like that's their job, is to drop them instead of catch them. But I mean, even Jarvis Landry, 11 for 29, and it's like,
yeah, he was really bad this last week.
Yeah, he's 11 for 29 in the last 3 weeks, which, I mean, Jarvis is an elite receiver by most accounts, so that's gotta point to an issue with Baker if even Jarvis is struggling to get catches.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't get going this week against the Bucks, we're gonna have to rethink our Mayfield love.
Exactly. So, all right, we'll move on to.
Real quick on
go
that
ahead.
Game,
yeah,
Quaffle.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
DeSean Jackson probably facing off against E.J. Gaines. That's a hell of a matchup.
I don't want those problems. The Gaines has played well. I don't think I like DeSean. DeSean is just boom or bust. He's definitely the GPP kind of guy. So, that'd be an interesting matchup to watch for if you're forced to watch Cleveland and Tampa Bay. So, we'll move on. We'll go to Carolina. Going to the defending champs, the over-under is 45. The Eagles, fly Eagles, fly, are 4-point favorites in this game. Mike, who are you fading in this one?
Do I have to pick an Eagle to?
No, you don't have to. You don't have
make
to.
Sure you don't think I'm biased.
No, you don't have to.
And actually, I would probably say, I don't know if I could call Wendell Smallwood a real fade. I know people were after him with the Ajayi injury news coming into this week, and you know, the game was Thursday night. So, you know, he obviously didn't get the production people were hoping for. The Panthers are, you know, they're a solid front. They're not easy to run on, typically. So I'd probably say Smallwood and even a little bit towards Clement. I don't think either back is likely to get a ton going in this game. You know, whoever scores a touchdown is going to be the usable player. But, you know, I would lean towards Clement as the better of the two backs for that odds.
Okay. So basically a fade of the Philly backfield.
Yeah, pretty much with an emphasis on Smallwood.
Okay. For me, I'm going to lock up the guy that I had confidence in season long. I see him rounding into shape. Some of the injury rolls behind him. It's Alshon Jeffrey for me. Nice connection there with Carson Wentz. You know, some would say, well, go Zach Ertz in this game, and you go that route as well. But I like Alshon. I don't know if Josh Norman will be matched up with him. I know Norman had came off the game against the Washington team last week against Carolina last week and played reasonably well, had some turnovers in that game. But I like Alshon Jeffrey in this matchup against Carolina. Jason, where are you going in terms of sleepers out of this game? I think there could be a few.
Yeah, these teams are pretty well concentrated with their offenses, both of them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with the old man, Greg Olsen.
I
think he just came back last week, so people are probably don't even realize that he's back on the field. But for an elite tight end, he's going to get used a lot, and he's kind of on the cheaper scale, I believe. But
yeah, he's only 5,900. He's sub 6K.
Yeah, he was 4 for 48, no touchdowns, but he was making some good catches. Like,
yeah, he got targets. Those,
7 targets total. I really like him in this spot. I really think that this week there's like so many top end options. Like when I did my rankings, I kind of color coded all the non main slate guys, which I haven't been doing. And it's like, man, you've got Mahomes, Ryan, Gordon, Dalton, Rivers, Barkley. Eli, Kareem Hunt, Julio, there's OBJ, Joe Mixon, all these top-end guys that are not playable on the main slate. And I really think, like, jamming in one of these higher-priced, like, stud, high-usage tight ends is going to be, like, a real viable strategy this week because there are a good number of them available.
Yeah, very good point. Very good point. All right, I'm going to move on, go to the Windy City. The Patriots, coming off that very exciting game against the Chiefs, are going to Chicago to play the Bears. The over-under is 49.5. New England, 3-point favorites on the road. We'll go a little bit reverse order here. Jason, who's your sleeper out of this one?
I don't know if you can call him a sleeper, but it's Josh Gordon. Tom was force feeding him the ball. Mm-hmm. They're really, really trying to get him involved. And I don't think the Bears defense is really gonna be able to keep up to Gordon, especially with how
place to attack him.
Especially with how quickly Tom like gets rid of the ball.
Yeah, Belichick's been just gushing over Gordon like week after week.
They all are. His grasp of the offense, the whole nine. This is the blow up spot. So for me, for all what you said, Jason, he's actually my lock. I read down here in big letters, Josh Gordon. He's going to go off, and it's going to be bad news for the rest of the league because I look at what they did in that Kansas City game. Oh, we'll just dump it here. Gronk, you get a little bit. Edelman, you get a taste. Gordon, this offense is about to really blow up. And so you could go Sonny Michel. You could go maybe someone on the Chicago side like an Allen Robinson. But lock up Josh Gordon. I think this is the game. He really, to your point, I think he really goes off in this game.
And how many people got let down by the Bears defense down in Miami this
week? You're talking to one right now. Oh, man. I thought...
You know, when people got the Osweiler news, they were like, plug it in. You got to do it.
Exactly. Who are you fading in this game? This could be kind of a bit of a shootout. At, you know, almost 50 over-under. Who are you fading, though, out of this game, Mike?
I'd probably say Jordan Howard. The Pats' run defense is you know, about average. Howard's usage has slipped every game this season with Tariq Cohen becoming more involved. He's playing less snaps. He's down to like 50% of the snaps. especially if the Bears need to keep up with that Patriots offense. It's probably Tariq Cohen being brought in for his dynamic playmaking abilities, and Jordan Howard not going to be involved as much.
All right. I think that's actually going to be a good viewing game if we're ranking games to watch. That should be a good one to watch on Sunday. Moving to a game that's not going to be good to watch. Again, sorry, I don't want to go after you guys in Buffalo, but Buffalo going to Indianapolis. The over-under is 43.5. We're going to lose fans in Buffalo. I think this is going to happen because I keep ragging on them. Indy 7.5-point favorites at home against the Bills. Mike, again, you can't fade the whole team in Buffalo, but can you pick out a play here to fade?
Are you guys chasing the Colts defense with Nathan Peterman likely to start?
That's going to be a real popular pick with the Peterman catalog. I mean, ooh, yeah. Ooh, he's bad.
He actually had a couple of nice passes against the Texans, but also the interceptions.
Even a blind squirrel. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's just something in his decision-making at the NFL level. He just can't do it and not throw interceptions. As far as a fade, Marlon Mack had a really good game. He broke a bunch of big runs. I think his needle is pointing up, but I just think that's a risky player to chase in a split backfield with, you know, three different backs competing for touches. He's probably the most talented, but,
here, I'll say something nice about Buffalo. I think their defense isn't all that bad.
They fixed their issues against the run. I think they're better this year against the run. I think the narrative with that Colts defense is that, you know, they'll be able to dominate the game. Peterman won't do anything. The Bills will be out of it. Marlon Mack is going to get opportunity. I feel like that's a risky proposition because the Colts aren't that good either. They should win this game, but, chasing Marlon Mack is not a pastime I enjoy.
Exactly. For me, I'm going to lock up the one, the only Eric Ebron. Jack Doyle, at least as far as I know, here taping on Tuesday. Ebron's production has been there. His price has crept up now to $6,800. So there's better plays in other games, but since we're trying to strip out a lot from this game, I don't think I want, for those defensive discussions I had about Buffalo, I don't think I want necessarily Andrew Luck in this game as a lock. I like Eric Ebron. You got to throw the ball somewhere. We don't know the health of T.Y. Hilton. Ryan Grant looks like he's banged up a little bit as well. Eric Ebron has found a new home in Indianapolis, and is when he does catch the ball, I mean, it's been production. So I think you guys have swayed me over these 7 weeks. So let's lock up Eric Ebron and say our rosaries and stuff like that. So who's our sleeper there for this game, Jason?
It's kind of all I'm definitely staying away from that Nathan Peterman-led Buffalo team. But it's all kind of dependent on who's actually going to play. I have it kind of projected that T.Y. might sit again. So I'm going to, if T.Y. is out he's going to be limited, I'm going right back to Chester Rogers. Played him last week. Andrew Luck, that is just throwing the ball too much.
He got too many attempts.
Yeah, 40 to 60 attempts per game. You know, he had two 60-attempt games. Like, obviously, his shoulder is holding up. So, anytime a quarterback is throwing that much, you want to play the opposing defense because there's just a lot of opportunity to get pick sixes and stuff. And you got to take one of the high-volume receivers in that offense.
For sure. And
with Ebron, do you think maybe his issue in Detroit was that they just didn't throw it to him enough? Like, he dropped the first couple passes, so they were like, all right, we're done with you.
No, because... and he was always injured too. Like
he couldn't stay on the field. He always had a little nick or bruise here. The dropsies were always an issue as well. His route running is also questionable as well. I don't know what it is. Sometimes for these guys, a change of scenery and the fact that, hey, if you mess up in this spot, you might be out of the league type situation. Maybe that's what the light bulb went off for him. But production is there.
It's entirely volume. It's not like Ebron's out there, you know, sure, shredding defenses like with his route running or catch and run. He's getting the volume with no other viable pass targets.
Well, think about the weapons in Detroit, right? And you have Golden Tate, you have Galladay, you have, you know, now they have some representative people in the backfield as well. You had Theo Riddick last year. I mean, there's a lot of mouths to feed on that offense, and they like to spread the ball around, so maybe that was part of it too. But I don't know what it is. I'm going to ride the wave at this point now.
Kind of have to.
Yep. All right, we'll move on.
Glad I turned you.
Yes, you did. I'm blaming you for everything going forward with Ebron. We'll move on to another game that'll be fun for viewing. New Orleans going to Baltimore. 50 is the over-under. Baltimore, 2.5-point favorite. A little bit of a surprise to me there. What are your sleepers in this game, Jason?
Man, they already priced Mark Ingram like way up, didn't they? 7.4K.
No discount for you. Yep, no discount for you.
Man, a sleeper. This is another one that's going to be like real dependent on whether people play or not. If Ted Ginn, these guys should play. They just came off the bye here, right?
Right. Yeah, I would think Ginn would be back in this one.
So, I mean, could this be our Cam Meredith blow up spot? He started getting real involved right there before the bye. Come in, got the bye. He's going to be in the slot. I really like Cam here.
What about Traquan? If Ginn, for whatever reason, doesn't go, he had a really big game against the Redskins before the bye. What about Traquan as a sleeper here?
Yeah, what did he have, like 3 targets, though? I mean, that's true. Robbie Anderson and Tyrell's, right, like blow-up spots. Like, it was only 3 targets.
Like, yeah, I like him, I'm not chasing the dome.
I'm not chasing 3 targets.
fair. All right, for me, my lock in this game, I'm going back to the well. Let me get John Brown against the Saints defense. He one of the leaders in, you know, those air yards, that one next gen stat. I mean, he's a target that Flacco's got some comfort with. He kind of let us down, as Mike talked about earlier in the podcast, but I like
them. They just didn't need him. They were that game with such a thorough domination. They never had to force the issue.
Yeah. So I like, if we think Vegas is right on this number, I like a little bit of a track meet. Potentially,
and he's gonna get Ken Crawley, which is the spot to attack the Saints defense.
So I'm locking up John Brown. Who are you fading in this one, Mike?
A fade. Yeah. I'm tempted to say Kamara. Being that it's on the road, and that I don't know how much passing is going to happen. It's a really interesting. It's really the Ravens obviously showed they had a great pass rush last week, and the Saints have a really good offensive line. So it's going to be interesting to see who wins that battle. Right. I think that's going to determine a lot of this game. I can't say fade Kamara though.
That was going to be out there. Co-sign that. Why not?
I would temper expectations. Like, he's going to continue to get 30% of the rushing and 20% of the passing, and they figure to have to pass a lot. So if this game does do what Vegas thinks, like he's going to be involved, he's going to get the ball in his hands. That'd be a dumb fade. I'd actually fade Alex Collins. The Saints have had a really solid run defense for whatever reason. Maybe when people are just dropping bombs on you through the air, you don't have to run the ball against people.
Right.
But Collins scored 2 touchdowns. People might chase that. he looked good, but he's just not getting the usage you want to see out of a lead back. And if the touchdowns disappear, which they can with Buck Allen vulturing, he'd be a fade.
It's a good one there. So another game that would actually be good to watch there on the main slate. All right, we'll move on. Nasty.
Just real quick.
Oh yeah,
real quick. Real quick with your John Brown. They're so I'm looking at next gen stats, and you got share of team air yards. So at the top, you got Julio Jones, then Adam Thielen, Odell Beckham. Okay, these guys are all, you know, they are the target hogs for their teams. Then you have Corey Davis, 41%, and John Brown, 41%. So, I mean, he's up there. Yeah, he's up there with, you know, the top dogs. Right below him is DeAndre Hopkins at 39%. So up there with the big dogs, John Brown and Corey Davis are.
Yeah, and his price is affordable at $6,500 on FanDuel, so I don't mind starting with him and Thielen as a two wideouts in a lot of lineups. So moving on to the NFC East matchup, Dallas is going to Washington to play the Washington team there. Over under 42, Washington's 1.5-point favorite. Who are you fading, Mike, out of this traditional rivalry?
I'd fade Dak Prescott.
You're not a believer after those two?
I'm higher on Dak than most people, but it's on the road. You know, Washington's got a sloppy track. They tend to make the game a little ugly anyway. You know, this is like two of the most unwilling to take a risk coaches in the NFL. Like, they're just gonna be happy to play a 10-7 football game and feel like, oh, we had a chance to win it. Like, just
if
such
they both had competent owners, they'd both be fired.
Yeah. So I mean, I think they're doing what their owners want is part of the problem. They're carrying the water for the owner, where some other teams don't have that problem. But yeah, I mean, it's the Washington pass defense is okay, and being out of Jerry World, Dak's not quite as good.
All right, for me, you know, I wanted to lock up this guy, but he's 6,900, and it's Adrian Peterson. I mean, I know it's 2018. I can't believe I'm recommending Adrian Peterson as even a DFS play. But he had production in last game. Dallas is a bit more stout than I would like to see, you know, in this matchup. We don't know the status of Chris Thompson. Adrian Peterson's kind of the lock. You know, I'll stick with it. The price is a little.
Like
the price
that.
A little bit of a is a little. The only thing that puts me off, but I don't want to. Yeah, I want to use the Zeke because I don't necessarily know if Zeke goes off in this game. So I'm gonna go with Peterson. Go ahead with your thought on Peterson though.
I mean, I think Zeke's fine to use, but Dallas just got back David, what's his name? Their D lineman.
I kind of think. Are you talking about Lawrence?
No, not that. Their D tackle, David Irving.
Okay.
He tends to. He's a really good athlete. He tends to get way upfield. The Washington, they still use a lot of trap running scheme. It's just kind of like ingrained into their DNA as a football team. Like, they invented the trap game pretty much. So they continue to use it really well. And AP has looked really good in that. So if you get linemen that tend to get upfield, which they do, they're aggressive on the Dallas front. You can get some really nice chunk gains. So I do like that AP call.
All right. Sleeper in this game, Jason.
You on AP? I have AP like ranked real high this week, so I like that one too. My sleeper, I'm going back up to one of these top end tight ends. I don't know what Alex Smith is doing. He has Jordan Reed on the field, and it's not like Alex Smith is coming from teams where he never had an elite tight end. He had an elite tight end with the 49ers, definitely an elite tight end with Kansas City. Now he's got one of the most explosive tight ends to ever play the game in Jordan Reed. And I'm like last week I said I was on I'm on Julio watch for, you know, one of those big blow up games. He had 145 yards last week, so it was great on DraftKings, like 30 points. Mm-hmm. But I'm on Jordan Reed watch too. So Jordan Reed's going to be one of those guys that I'm just kind of jamming in every week.
Yeah.
Till he has one of those 30 point outings. I mean, no, he's just not doing
five Jordan. Catches, 36. But like, he catches a touchdown with that, you know, it's a much different week. And he can't score a touchdown every game. So
yeah. Jordan Reed should.
And the problem I have here, the problem I have here is Alex Smith just has that trust with Vernon Davis. You talk about the days they had in San Francisco together. So I mean, Davis got the touchdown last week as well. I'm with you on Jordan Reed. He's gonna blow up. You want to be on the right side of that.
And that was the Davis touchdown was just like a beautiful play call. Yep. Like they scripted him wide open. It was just one of those things that worked out perfectly.
Yeah. So I like Jordan Reed here as well. All right, we'll move on to West Coast game. The Rams are going out with that juggernaut of a team going against the Niners. The over-under is 52.5. The Rams are 10-point favorites. Jason, who you got as a sleeper here?
How about Josh Reynolds?
Wow.
Looks like a lot of people wanted to use him last week.
But everybody was playing last week. I wanted to play him last week.
That's what I mean, yeah. Like, it's still fresh in your mind.
It looks like Cooper's going to be out for a little while. I don't remember what his injury was. I'm trying to look it up.
It's a leg thing.
So it's MCL.
Like an MCL sprain or something like that. Let's see.
Okay.
But, Josh Reynolds, he's a super talented guy. Just got to get a chance. And if Cooper's going to be out, he's one of the big red zone threats there. The Rams, they're going to win this game easily. And
yes.
they spread the ball around. Jared Goff spreads it around a lot, you know.
Yeah. Good call. So, I mean, Reynolds has been a preseason darling in years past, so that's a good call. For me, I'm going to go with two locks. Also in that passing game, let me get Brandon Cooks as a lock, but I also like Marquise Goodwin on the Niners side of this ball game. I mean, he played really well last night against the Packers with the two scores. I think, you know, San Francisco is at least showing some grit and some determination in these games, and so I think if we're going to have production, you have George Kittle, obviously, with the Niners as well. But I like Marquise Goodwin. He's coming into his own. His price is super affordable on FanDuel at $5,500. Mm-hmm. So I can go a lot of ways if I put him in the lineup. So Cooks and Goodwin.
Probably going to see a lot of Goodwin's probably going to see a lot of Marcus Peters, who's getting shredded deep this year. He's just taking chances to try and jump routes, and people are blowing by him.
Right. And Goodwin is world class in terms of speed.
Man,
so
he's got crazy kind of he just closing speed, but it's him and Tyreek Hill.
Yes.
Right up there.
I like the celebration last night too with the long jump.
Was he trying to blow a knee out?
He's just showing you he's versatile.
Oh man, yeah. He got up in the air too on that jump.
Like, really high, Who are you fading out of this game?
I mean, like you said, the Rams should really roll here. I'm definitely concerned with the San Francisco front facing the Rams' pass rush in the interior there. Their tackles are better, the 49ers, than their interior linemen. So that could get kind of ugly. You might be tempted to chase like C.J. Beathard. That's not a spot that I want to face. They will be in comeback mode. They will be chasing, but I just don't see him having time at all to really take advantage of that game script.
All right, very good. Last two games, obviously not on the main slate. We'll take them individually for those that play Showdown. That's kind of been one of my new favorite pastimes, to play the Showdown slates. We'll start with a Sunday Night Affair. Chiefs back on primetime, and most people like to see them. They're hosting the Bengals. Huge over-under, 58.5. We talked a little bit about these the players in this game. I know Jason did. Chiefs are 6-point favorites. Mike, why don't you go with a fade out of this game? If you're playing a showdown slate, who are you fading?
Man, I don't know that there is a fade in this game. Like, you know, they're both defenses will just give it up everywhere. You know, the Bengals have a bad run defense, so do the Chiefs. The passing defense on the Chiefs is injury-riddled. The Bengals have not been great either. They lost some pieces, too, this weekend to see who comes back. Yeah. I mean, I guess CJ Uzoma. Like, I had a good bit of him this weekend, given that he was going to be their solidary tight end. And that might be the one spot the Chiefs actually defend.
That works for me. That works for me. I'm going to go double lock. It is a hard game to fade, right? There's a lot of goodness on both sides of the ball. Double lock here, like I did in the last game. Both running backs, Mixon and Hunt. I think you could – one strategy is to put both of them in your lineups, then fill in the rest with maybe your second receivers. I know Jason talked about this a lot in the early part of the season. You know, these number twos, guys like Tyler Boyd, maybe not Sammy Watkins. I think, you know, you get 1A and 1B in terms of Hill and Kelsey on the Chiefs side of the ball. But filling in with those secondary options with the two backs, I think, gets you a good ways down the road on your showdown slate. So for me, two locks in this game, both the running backs, Hunt and Mixon. Production is off the charts for both of them. So give me both of those. Sleepers in this game, Jason, who do you got?
I don't really have a sleeper for this game. These offenses are just kind of, you know where the ball's going to go. I mean, Pat does, he's thrown, the last time I looked, it was like 9 different receivers have a touchdown from him this year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Kid's amazing. Just amazing.
But even with that, like, all the production is still pretty much concentrated in Hunt, Hill, and Kelsey. Yeah. You know? And then if you're playing any of the other guys, it's kind of just a dart throw and hoping that Mahomes, you know, has 6 touchdowns and accidentally throws 2 to Chris Conley or something, you know.
What about Boyd over on the other side? He had a great game.
I don't think he's a sleeper anymore though. Like,
not at this point. Ago, yeah.
But like, if you're coming into this game in the showdown slate, you know, like you said, you've got plenty of guys on the Chiefs side. You've got Mixon, AJ Green, that's the top Bengals options. Are people going to work Boyd in, do you think?
Yeah, I think you have to. He's pretty, I mean, is he, I think in fantasy, he's actually outproducing, I mean, yeah. I think he's actually outproducing AJ Green right now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's see. Find my last 3 weeks tab here. And then team.
I think Tyler Boyd has moved off that sleeper chart, and the talent is definitely on display. Yeah. He's definitely a good way to go in this game.
Their stats the last 3 weeks is Tyler Boyd is 22 for 31, 206 yards and 2 touchdowns. And AJ Green is 17 for 30 with 275 and 1 touchdown. So, you know, they're getting the same amount of targets. They're basically getting the same amount of catches. They're pretty close in yards. They're pretty close in touchdowns. I mean, they're basically producing at the same level. And, you know, Tyler Boyd is a lot cheaper, which is why I don't think he's, I mean, I've been playing him every week for pretty much since week one.
Yeah.
He's just a real cheap option for in that offense.
Exactly. All right. Well, we'll move on to the Monday night game for those that care to watch. The Giants playing the Falcons, 54 over-under. Falcons and basically their season's on the line here. This they're 6-point favorites. Mike, anyone you want to fade on this game here?
I would fade Tevin Coleman. I know that you know, the Devonta Freeman news has got, you know, people interested in him as, you know, the guy, but like, he's been the guy for weeks now. And he just hasn't produced in the role. Ito Smith is vulturing touchdowns. He's stealing passing work. You know, the Giants aren't a bad run defense. And if the game turns into a shootout, which the Falcons' defense has been causing, you know, it's going to be the same thing. They're going to be mixing the backs in. Ito Smith can do a little more in the passing game, at least in their opinion, because they're only giving Coleman like two targets a game right now, even though he did catch a touchdown last week. So, you know, it's I think people are going to overreact to that Devonta Freeman news and maybe not realize that Coleman's had the backfield to himself lately.
Exactly. For me, the lock, surprise to no one, after the amazing game Thursday Night Football, Saquon Barkley for me. I mean, the number four running back, according to PFF, the talent is there. If he only had a quarterback, what could this guy do? He's doing all this stuff kind of despite the quarterback, despite the offensive line.
I think it's actually good because, like, who else could Eli throw to? You know?
Right.
He can't throw downfield at this point.
Yeah. No, he really can't. No.
It's atrocious if he's thrown anything beyond, like, a 5-yard route.
It is really bad, and they've got to figure something out.
The Falcons are giving up like one of the top scoring running backs every single week, and a lot of that is due to the passing game.
Exactly.
And what does Saquon do so well?
This is just the ultimate lock in the captain spot for the showdown slate.
Yeah, like, I don't think you can even think about
anyone else. Exactly. Who are your sleepers in this one, Jason?
I actually like Evan Engram in this one because
is he gonna be healthy for this one?
It looks like he's gonna suit up and play this week.
Okay.
So
I can get behind that. He's got a lot of talent. Yeah.
Yeah, that's you kind of just illustrated the exact point that I was gonna make, that, you know, just like with Greg Olsen, like, a lot of people might not even realize that he's gonna be on the field. And it's another, you know, what was it? The owner of the Giants came out and said that Odell needs to play football and stop talking. Like, all right, dude, you need to chill out. Just trade Odell to the Patriots or something.
Exactly. So, no, it's a great pick with Evan Engram. The talent is there, and he doesn't require getting all the way downfield to get those routes. So,
yeah. The whole, like, running back situation in Atlanta. So, I love Tevin Coleman. He's another one of those running backs I have this, like, just weird man crush on. But I look back at the game logs for the last, since Sark took over the offense. And there have been 6 instances of, like, a 20-plus PPR game, 20-plus point PPR game. Since Sark took over, between Tevin Coleman and Devonta Freeman combined, 6. So that's like 18 games, right? In the last year of Kyle Shanahan, I think Devonta Freeman had, I wrote it in Slack chat, I think he had like 8 or 9, and then Coleman had like another 3 or 4. So they had like 11 or 12, something like that, in one season. Right. Of 20-plus PPR games.
You know, when Tevin Coleman is going to be good? When he becomes a free agent and he goes to the 49ers to get reunited with Shanahan.
Yeah, there. Or, going to the Eagles. Like,
that would be a good fit for him, too, yeah.
Yeah, that's where I've been. I have him in my dynasty team, and I'm just, like, crossing my fingers that the Eagles go and scoop him up.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, fade of the week, Mike, where are you at?
My favorite fade, I'm trying to debate whether I want a safe kind of something that I know is a solid fade.
No, go wild, go wild.
Or something that was sneaky that I felt like. What did you guys think that I put out that was a little sneakier?
I don't know what the sneakiest play you had there. Go somewhere you had. What about on your Eagles? Give me a fade off your Eagles. Fade of the week.
I mean, I said Smallwood for the Eagles. I think that game is going to be sloppy as a whole. Maybe not sloppy, but pretty competitive. You know, the Panthers lost because they made some early mistakes. I could see both teams making mistakes, so... yeah, be careful with the Eagles that you roster.
All right. Sleeper of the week, Jason.
I'm going with my boy Oh, man. I'll probably go with Reynolds on this one. I just think like that opportunity is going to be there, and you know they're going to score. The Rams are just going to score so much and pretty much at will that having a good cheap option in that offense is going to be worth it for sure.
For all what we talked about and for the production, lock of the week, Adam Thielen. The guy is locked and loaded. He has a great matchup in the slot against the Jets this week. He's my guy. So any other thoughts, guys, to close out the week?
No, just enjoy. There's some good matchups.
Some real good. Year. Yeah, if you're a football fan, there's some good games on the main slate. The primetime games, at least on Sunday night, the Sunday night game will be fun to watch as well. Jason, anything from you to close up shop?
Hey, make sure you play Todd Gurley. He's kind of the he and Zeke are the only stud running backs that we kind of have available.
Jam him in.
Yep.
And jam if you him play, in now. Goff is my number one quarterback on the main slate. Gurley is my number one running back for the main slate. You can put those guys with my sleeper, Josh Reynolds. Ooh. And that's a good way to start it off.
There it is. Giving away all this goodness there that you can find in Slack. So, again, guys, appreciate you listening. Check us out, patreon.com/lineuplogic. Obviously, Twitter, you know the handles by now. We're 7 weeks into this thing. You know where we're at. For Mike and for Jason, I'm Quaffo. You guys take it easy. Good luck this week and make it be profitable for you. Take it easy.
Later.